Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we do get started, I want to encourage you as you're making your travel plans for the new year, remember JohnnyDollarAir.com. Johnny Dollar Air is a Priceline affiliate, so you can save money by either naming your own price on hotels, rental cars, and airline tickets, or choosing from great published specials. Plus, part of your purchase goes to support the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. So when you travel, remember, check JohnnyDollarAir.com first. All right, well, now it's time for us to get into today's episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. And after the program, and after our commentary on Johnny Dollar, be sure and listen for the next Carter Brown case. But here now is The Laughing Matter, Part 5.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Would you ask, John... Oh, it is you.
Was there some doubt about it?
No, but I was phoning Captain Perrow.
He's out of his office at the moment. What's the matter, Burton? Somebody shooting at you again?
That's not funny, Mr. Dollar.
Who's laughing?
A man's been murdered, you know. And I think that's anything but a laughing matter.
I said, who's laughing?
And except for the whims of fate, it might well be me lying dead at this moment.
And that's really why you're upset, isn't it, Burton? Because it might have been you. You're not really concerned about Al's death.
Well, I was extremely fond of the boy.
You were no fonder of him than he was of you, so save that good old lovable Charlie business for your television audience. I never did buy it myself.
Dollar, may I remind you that your position...
I know my position in it. I'm an Ensenada to protect your life because some company was crazy enough to write a $500,000 policy on you. All right, you're still alive, aren't you? Goodbye, Burton.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Ensenada, Mexico, to the Home Office, Union States Casualty Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, The Laughing Matter. Expense account, final page. Item 12, 50 cents, two bottles of beer, one for myself and one for Capitan Parral. We sat in his office in the Comandancia de Police and drank them slowly and watched the sun sink behind the headlands across the bay. And we waited. The daytime heat reluctantly loosened its grip, and the town, pushing off the lethargy of afternoon, stirred to the quickened pace of evening. A sprinkling truck passed slowly, sweeping the dusty, rutted street with a spurting broom of water. Gleeful kids ran out behind it and splashed in the puddles, squealing happily. Spanish squeals they were. The Comandancia is off the tourist beat, and all the while, somewhere back inside the building, an autopsy surgeon worked on a corpse.
Bueno, señor. Ya está listo. The medico, he's all finished now.
Well, what's the verdict, Perrault?
It's what we are thinking. El se mató por veneno. He was, poison.
What kind of poison?
El dice cianura. How you call it?
Cyanide?
Si, señor, cyanide. And he are say also are very much cyanide in this bottle which you has give to me.
Yeah, I thought it smelled like it. Al drank a glass and a half out of it and then dropped dead right in front of the camera.
And you are saying the wrong man has drunk it, the wrong one is get killed, no?
That's right. Charlie Burton was supposed to play that role himself. But this morning at breakfast, he agreed to let Al have the part. I was there, I heard it.
So if he was not do that, he is one who will be dead now.
Sure, Charlie Burton himself. And it figures, Perrault. He's been the target all along. That threatening note that was slipped under his door, somebody firing a shot at him last night.
Si, seguro.
Then when they finally got their punch in, they tagged the wrong guy.
I don't understand what has happened to this Nacho Morales.
Elena's husband, the maid at the hotel that Charlie kept annoying.
Ensenada, I know, is one big place. It's very small, this town. And we are look every place, senor, but we are no find this man.
I don't know, Peral. And yet I got a hunch he's the key to this whole thing.
We find him, senor. It's no way for escape this town. We find him muy pronto now. You bet your life.
Item 13, $1.40. Taxi back to the hotel. Lights were coming on, a cool breeze was starting to blow in off the Pacific, and the whole town was brightening up to the challenge of the night. But not me. Technically, of course, the job I'd been sent here to do was still under control. Big-time comedian Charlie Burton, a great big lovable scream to his public, had been insured by his television sponsor for $500,000. Then Burton had received the anonymous note threatening his life, so I was here to protect the insurance company's investment. I didn't care personally what happened to Burton. It was just a job. But I did care about Al.
Johnny.
Oh, hello, Gloria.
What is it, Johnny? What happened? No one seems to know anything definite about it.
Al Schreiber's dead. Poisoned. That's all I know about it. Come on in the lounge. I'll buy you a drink.
All right, Johnny. Have they found that man who was missing? What's his name?
Nacho Morales. No, he's still missing. This table all right?
Sure, anywhere.
Waiter.
Si, senor.
Two margaritas, please.
Muy bien.
Frank Maltz said something about Charlie and Al changing parts.
Yeah. Maltz got Charlie mad, and he made the switch to prove a point.
What point?
That Al wasn't ready for a starring role. Oh, that's right. You didn't come down for breakfast this morning.
No, I wasn't in today's scenes, so I just slept in.
It's just as well. It wasn't a very pretty sight.
Oh, it's a rotten shame. Al was a real swell guy.
Con permiso, senora.
Oh, here you are.
Gracias, senor.
Boy, the irony in this world, Johnny.
What do you mean?
Charlie Burton, who's been a rat all his life, makes his usual crude play for the maid here in the hotel, and what happens? Her husband hits back at the wrong man. Al gets killed. A kid who'd never harm anybody in his life, and Charlie gets off scot-free.
I was with Captain Peral last night when he talked to the Morales girl, not his wife. She doesn't speak any English, Gloria. And she says her husband doesn't either.
Well, he wouldn't need to, would he, to pull a trigger or poison a bottle of
wine? Maybe not. But he would, in order to write a threatening note in English.
Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
If Nacho's in it, he's not in it alone. And I've got a hunch he's...
El teléfono, señor.
Oh, thanks. Johnny Dollar.
This is Capitán Peral, señor.
What is it, Peral?
We have just found this man, Nacho Morales.
Good, I'll be right down.
But, Johnny, do you think Frank Maltz might have...
Not if he was after Charlie Burton. He knew that Al, not Burton, was going to drink out of that bottle.
But didn't everybody know that?
No, not everybody, Gloria. You didn't. Nacho Morales was sitting alone in the starkly barren detention room of the Comandancia. He was a small man, maybe a few years older than his wife. A field worker with gnarled hands and a bent back. He was waiting patiently, quietly, gripping the brim of his sombrero in his hands, trying to hide the fear, the terror that lay just behind his eyes. His eyes flickered slightly as Peral and I opened the steel grill door. And then he waited.
Buenos dias, hombre.
Buenos dias, capitán.
Tú eres Nacho Morales, ¿es verdad?
Sí, señor.
¿Y eres tu esposa de Evelina Morales?
Sí, señor.
¿Cómo pasó la noche, hombre?
Locked off by the barrier of language, I watched while Peral questioned him, stopping now and then to translate. Then Peral asked the question that started the avalanche.
Dígame una cosa. ¿Por qué tú trataste de matar al señor anoche?
Why did you try to kill that man last night?
No, capitán, es mentira decirlo. Yo no traté de matar a nadie. No es.
In answer to Peral's accusation, Nacho's story poured out in a flood of Spanish. And as I stood there listening to it translated, I began to feel sick inside. I'd been blind. All the facts were there, all the evidence, and I'd still failed to spot the play. Nacho's story was the key, it fit, and I knew he was telling the truth. He'd been hiding out on a friend's fishing boat since the night before. He knew he'd be accused. Because he had been at the hotel when the shot was fired through Burton's window. He was hiding in the shrubbery by the terrace, and he'd seen the whole thing. The shot had been fired by Charlie Burton himself.
Who is it?
Johnny Dollar. I want to talk to you, Burton.
All right. Just a minute. What is it, Dollar? Have they caught that killer yet?
Nacho Morales, you mean? Yeah. Barral picked him up about an hour ago. I just came from there.
Has he confessed?
No, he hasn't.
They ought to beat it out of him. That's the only way to make that kind talk.
It is, huh? Sit down, Burton. I think you're due for a shock.
What are you talking about?
Nacho didn't try to kill you.
Well, then who did?
Nobody.
Are you crazy? What about Al Shriver? I suppose he's not even dead.
Oh, he's dead, all right. You ought to know. You killed him. That was your whole plan, wasn't it, Burton? To kill Al Shriver and get away with it. Everything else was a preliminary buildup. Oh,
that's very funny. You ought to be on television.
Well, there's going to be an opening soon. You wrote that threatening letter yourself.
What?
And then tore it up after Maltz had seen it so it couldn't be traced back to you.
You get better all the time.
You fired that shot through your window from the terrace there. More buildup. Then you made your play, that phony argument this morning.
Oh, really?
Switching
Dollar.
Parts with Al, putting him on the spot, making it look as though somebody had tried to poison you and missed. It was fairly clever, Burton, but you're still going to be tagged for it.
Does Peral know all this?
Why don't you ask him? I'll be glad to step...
All right, Dollar. Don't move. Get your hands up now. Real slow.
Is that the same gun you used last night?
You're wrong, you know. I'm not going to be tagged.
Relax, Burton. There's no capital punishment in Mexico. You can star in all the prison shows.
You're too smart, Dollar. You're like Al. And you know what happened when he got too smart.
You have dropped this gun, senor.
Paral!
I started to tell you I'd be glad to call him, that he was listening out there on the terrace.
His gun. You drop, quick.
No!
Look out, Paral!
Mira, senor. I am not shoot too bad, I think.
No. No, not bad at all, Peral. Well, he asked for it.
I am see he is go to pull this trigger, so I are to shoot much fast. Bam, bam, bam. I tell you, he's look very surprised, senor.
Yeah. It's too bad he couldn't have seen the look on his face. A comedian would have really appreciated it. Why, he'd have died laughing. Item 14, $462.30. Hotel and miscellaneous in Ensenada and transportation back to Hartford. Expense account total, $791.55. End of account, end of report. Remarks? Ray Policy on the life of Charles Z. Burton, deceased. Refer clause 34, subparagraph C, quote, if the insured dies while committing a felony, this policy is null and void, unquote. The Superior Court of Baja California rules that Burton was shot while resisting arrest and committing an assault with a deadly weapon. So you can keep your $500,000. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here's our star to tell you about next week's intriguing story.
Next week, a frantic chase across the country after a girl who couldn't possibly exist, then suddenly turned up. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in this week's cast were Virginia Gregg, John Daner, Lucille Meredith, Lawrence Dobkin, Gil Stratton, Harry Bartell, and Don Diamond. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino and Carl Fortina. Be sure to join us on Monday night, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Roy Rowan speaking. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Well, this was a good serial. Some nice performances in here. I had one problem with the laughing matter. And here's the thing. I think that I really had trouble buying John Daner as a comedian here. And I don't know if it was his fault or if it was or if it was the fault of the writers. And I noticed no real joke material for the most part, other than when they were describing that scene. And I think one difference between this program and a lot of other programs that feature comedians as either people who are murdered or who commit murder is usually the comedian is someone who is very sarcastic and cutting towards those around them. And while usually I think it's good to depart from a trope, in this case, I think that the trope really does have some power. A great and talented comedian is going to use sarcasm, is going to use humor as a weapon against his co-stars, because I think a lot of people who are abusive and have issues go ahead and they use the humor as a weapon. The lack of that here was somewhat bothersome, because Daner sounded like they were doing Shakespeare or something, and not one of the funny plays. All right, well, we did receive some comments regarding the indestructible mic matter. And Steven says, I was expecting you to mention the invincible mic from Johnny Dollar last week was based on a true story. They adapted it, but Mike himself was pretty close to real life. Well, the reason, of course, that I didn't mention that is I did not know that it was a real-life story. But apparently it was. It goes back to the days of the speakeasy. And several people got together and they said, you know, this guy, you know, just comes in here, drinks. There's no value to him being alive, but we could sure collect some insurance. So they laid out their plot. And they decided, you know, it's just be pretty simple. You know, we get the life insurance on the guy, invite him in, and he'll just drink himself to death. But that wasn't working. So then they started poisoning the alcohol. And that wasn't working. They gave him poison food, including raw oysters soaked in methanol. And spoiled sardines. Mixed in with poison and carpet tacks. And none of that worked. So then they took the guy whose name was Mike the Durable, or Iron Mike, the nickname Michael Malloy. They took him out there and they put him on a park bench when he was drunk and passed out. It was 14 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. They threw him in the snow and then poured 5 gallons of water on top of his bare chest. And then he showed up the next day asking for a drink. Then one of them was a cabbie, and he ran Mike down with his cab. And Mike went to the hospital for a few weeks, but then he showed up for a drink. And then finally they did actually succeed in killing him when once again he passed out. And they went ahead and they poisoned him with carbon monoxide. The problem that these crooks ran into, though, was that the story of Mike's durability, it spread around. And the police, they didn't believe it at first, but then they investigated it. And they found out what had truly happened. Because the killers had chosen carbon monoxide, which leaves traces long after death. And one person turned state's evidence, the guy who drove the cab, and he got life imprisonment. And the other four were sent to the electric chair. And the combined amount of money was probably less than we were dealing with in the indestructible Mike matter. The amount there amounted to $3,500, or around $61,000 split four ways, adjusted for inflation. Really, this whole murder scene, it ended up taking a comical turn, darkly comic, but there was a real story behind it. And there's a listing here on Wikipedia of some of the stories. This inspired an episode of Gangbusters. Inspired a play and a couple bits of song, as well as an episode of the BB series QI, and an episode of Amazing Stories, and a novel, All Dames Are Dynamite, back in the 1940s. So you learn something new every day. All right, well, we have more comments. This one from this one regarding Howard McNear. Just finishing listening to the Johnny Dollar episode, Indestructible Mike. I really enjoy Howard McNear's characterization of the role. I don't know anyone who could have played the role better. In fact, I've enjoyed everything I've heard or seen him do. His Doc Adams on Gunsmoke is genius work. And, of course, the Andy Griffith Show was a showcase for him. I understand that deriving a top 100 of anything opens opportunities for critics, but I was surprised that he did not make your list. Think about how different all of the shows would have been without Howard McNear. He deserves a tribute. Well, John, I definitely agree he deserves a tribute. There's always, you alluded to it, a big challenge in making the top 100 list. And Howard McNear is one of those people I wish I could have found a room for. I think that when you get very far in the list, you kind of get into, oh, gosh, I really would like to have this person in there, but then I'd also like to have that one. So he was one, didn't quite make the cut. I think I'd heard him in a lot of shows very similar. Suspense, Johnny Dollar, The Lineup. I don't know, maybe if I were making the list this year with all of the episodes of Johnny Dollar and The Lineup I've heard this year, it might make the list. I don't know. It may just be a matter of perspective. All right. Well, we've gone kind of long. I have one more email, but it's not Johnny Dollar specific, so I'll save it for after our Carter Brown case. So here now is The Lady Was Lethal, Part 3.
Carter Brown Mysteries. Adventures in excitement and suspense, based on the best-selling novels by the slick storytelling sensation, Carter Brown.
I was working in the dark and I wished someone would turn on some light. With the firm of Williams and Eaton deprived of the services of Hank Williams by sudden death, it left me, Mrs. Eaton's little boy Johnny, carrying the ball. The only drawback was that I didn't know what the ball was supposed to look like or where I was supposed to boot it.
Well, what did you do with this Babyface Brill after you knocked him out?
Hal Waltham, the Blues Club manager, came over and I gave Babyface to him.
What does it all mean, Johnny?
Helen, I wish I knew.
It certainly looks like it's all tied in with Hank's murder.
That is for sure. Your brother had something or knew something. Why the heck the dumb ox always insisted on playing his cards close to his chest, I'll never know. If only he'd left a note, some hint.
Even if he had, you'd still never have found it. That Laban man would have got it first.
Yeah, I guess so. How's the apartment, Helen?
Oh, it's all right, Johnny. I'm afraid I can't take much interest in anything till Hank's killer is.
Yeah, I know, honey. I know. Now, who's that, I wonder?
I can tell you. It's a man named Stokes. He called up this morning and wanted to see you. I told him you'd be in the office about this time.
Okay, Helen. Let him in. Huh?
All right, Johnny.
Mr. Eaton?
Oh, yes, sir. He's in the small office there. Won't you go in?
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Eaton. My name is Stokes.
Good morning. Shut the office door. We'll be nice and private. You wanted to see me? What can I do for you, Mr. Stokes?
I read about your partner's death. A terrible business.
His sister and I agree with you.
I have his murder on my conscience, Mr. Eaton. You see, I am the man responsible.
You mean you...
Oh, no. I don't mean I'm the man who pulled the trigger, though I might just as well have done so. I'm the man who hired your partner for the investigation that led to his death.
A client? Hank's client?
Yes. I hired Mr. Williams to investigate the Blues Club and give me proof of the bribery and corruption which came from it.
Can I ask why, Mr. Stokes?
I'm a rich man, Mr. Eaton. I had a daughter. She went to the Blues Club a few times. I suppose she thought it was exciting that they knew her, knew where she came from, knew that there was money behind her.
Go on, Mr. Stokes.
You know the story, Mr. Eaton. It's an old story. Not even a very exciting story, except to the people directly concerned. She spent her allowance, she sold her jewelry, her clothes, she stole things from the house. And then finally she couldn't stand it any longer.
I'm sorry. I can understand how you feel.
I think perhaps you can, Mr. Eaton. I know how your partner felt about you, and I imagine you felt the same way about him. I wanted him to get me proof of the Blues Club's activities, and proof that it was allowed to exist by a number of people holding positions of public trust. And I think he had it.
Yeah, I've got reason to think that, too.
The morning of the day he was killed, he called me. Said he had something really big, and that he was sending you an urgent wire to come back and help him with it. The next thing I knew was the notice of his death in the papers.
You're going to ask me if I have that proof, Mr. Stokes. I haven't. But I know the people concerned haven't got it either. He hid it somewhere. And we don't know just where. But it must turn up sooner or later.
I can only pray that it does, Mr. Eaton. I came here this morning to ask you to take over where Mr. Williams left off.
Well, I'm doing that in any case.
Of course. But I should like you to consider this check as bringing the retainer up to date.
$2,000? That's a lot of hay.
I told you, my feed bag is well filled. Here's my card. You can reach me at that phone number or address.
Right, Mr. Stokes. I'll keep you informed.
You may believe me, Miss Reeton, when I say that once I get my hands on whatever Williams unearthed, I shall know the best quarters in which to make use of it. Good morning, Mr. Reeton, and good luck. Goodbye, young lady.
Goodbye, sir. Well, who was he, Johnny?
He was your brother's client.
Johnny? Then you know what it's all about.
I've got an idea, and tonight I'm going to make sure. Tonight, I'm paying the Blues Club another visit. I got there early. The club was only half full. The waiters were looking bored, and after a couple of drinks, I donned the dull expression, too. I folded a couple of five spots in half, held them prominently in my hand, and signaled the guy who'd served me.
Same again, sir?
No. This is a bit slow. I'd like to go upstairs.
Upstairs, sir?
Don't kid me. A pal of mine told me all about this joint. I want some fun. How about it?
I'll inquire, sir, if you'll just wait.
I waited, with my fingers crossed and my eye on the entrance in case the hefty hunk that was Tiny Laban showed up. Then the waiter was back.
If you'll follow me, sir.
Sure. We went past the band to a doorway next to the kitchen. And up a narrow staircase to an iron door at the top. The waiter rapped on the door.
Yeah?
A new member.
Okay. Come on in. New member, huh? What's the name?
Hyde. Jekyll Hyde.
Cost you $50 entrance fee, Mr. Hyde.
Sure.
Okay, you're in. Through that door. Help yourself.
It was a large room, well supplied with gambling tables. It was also well supplied with babes. One of them, a red-headed, swivel-hipped model with the latest type chassis, swayed over.
Hello there. You're a new member?
That's right.
I'm Anna.
Nice to know you. I go for a girl with your manner, Anna.
Would you like to play?
That's what I came for. What can you offer?
There's a roulette, baccarat, shimmy, or dice.
Dice is strictly for the proletarians. I think I'll have a whirl at the wheel.
Have some more champagne, honey?
No. Like the man in the song, I get no kick from champagne.
Try one of the other tables.
What for? I dropped $400 on the roulette. What makes you think I'll be any luckier at the others?
Say, you're really down, aren't you, sugar?
Right down. Down where you can't get no downer. I want something exciting. Something new. Something with a real lift in it.
Maybe I could do something about that. Come with me. In here. Give me $200 and I'll get it for you.
Okay.
Just wait here.
I lit a cigarette and waited. I thought I was getting closer. Closer to finding out what Hank had found out. Then I remembered he'd got killed for it.
Here you are, honey.
Just two pellets? Comes high, doesn't it? $100 a pellet.
That's the real thing. You ought to be grateful.
I am, baby. And I'm going to demonstrate my gratitude to you.
You are, sugar? How?
Like this.
Oh!
Sorry, Anna, but it's time I was going. I wouldn't want you to stop me. I got past the gorilla at the iron door with no trouble and walked through the club with my gun in my pocket and my fingers curled around the butt. Half an hour later, I was in my apartment, and the two little white pellets were safely stowed away. Whether they'd make evidence or not, I wasn't sure. I thought I'd ask Lieutenant Jorgensen sometime. But at last, I knew exactly what went on at the Blues Club.
Good morning, Johnny. Do you always get into the office this early?
Sure, Helen, when I'm breaking in a new secretary.
You can't call me new. I've been working here for 3 days now. Did you get anywhere at the Blues Club last night?
Yep, I got into their private rooms.
And you found out?
A few interesting items.
Well, here's another interesting item. This letter and package arrived here.
Addressed to you in Kentucky and forwarded on.
Yes. The day after I came here, I wired back leaving your office as my forwarding address. Here, read the letter first.
But it's Hank's handwriting. Dear Helen, this is terribly urgent or I wouldn't be bothering you. Enclosed is a package. It is vitally important. Please put it in your safe deposit till I send for it. Johnny Eaton is on his way back from Detroit, so I can't send it to him, and I daren't carry it around with me. When I get some time, I'll tell you all about it. When are you coming over for that holiday? Rob, Hank.
When am I coming over for that holiday?
No, take it easy now, sweetheart. See, let's take a look at that package.
It's a notebook.
Hey.
What is it?
Wait a minute. Well, I'll be... Wow.
What is it?
It's dynamite. It's loaded. No wonder they wouldn't stop at murder to try and get it back.
But what is it?
Well, without looking at it from beginning to end, it looks like a record of payments, a record of bribery and corruption, of people they paid to keep their mouths shut. City Hall, state politics, the police, and the narcotics squad.
Narcotics?
Yeah, that's one of the items I found out last night. The Blues Club's a front for dope peddling. Honey, this little book will lift the roof off the city if it ever hits the press. It'll smash prominent people, people in positions of trust, respectable people. Say, you don't believe it until you see it.
And now we've got it.
Johnny Eaton, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking of using this little book as bait. We might hook quite a lot of fish.
Isn't that dangerous?
Sure. It was dangerous for Hank. I owe them something for that. And this is paying off time.
Welcome back. Well, he knows everything, and we're going to get the wind-up. And these can be pretty interesting. I think we've had a couple of them. And usually they can be somewhat madcap escapades. So that's what I'm bracing for next week, and I hope you'll join us for next week's episode of The Lady Was Lethal. All right, well, now another email, this one from Alan in Texas. Who writes, I was fortunate to find your Great Detectives podcast about two years ago. I listened to 2 to 4 episodes most workdays while driving to and from work, and I'm grateful for the fine product you provide. While I first found your podcast, I was driving between Houston and Fort Worth every week, and listening to your podcast helped make the week go by quickly. I'm listening to episodes from September and October of this year and listened to a reader comment that asked for suspense and or horror programs. Try RelicRadio.com, which offers 12 different podcasts. And I do believe they do have a suspense podcast. So thanks so much for that tip, Alan. And thank you so much for listening. I truly appreciate it. All right, well, that will do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with the lineup. Join us back here on Monday, for another episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And Friday, we wrap up The Lady Was Lethal. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.